So do the children want to come up for a children's homily? Do not be afraid. And if you have particularly young children that are still in arms, feel free to bring those up. That'd be fine. You can just hold them. So what do I have here?
Sophia.
Sophia? This is Sophia? No, the one I'm holding. Is this Sophia? No, that's your name, right? Your name is Sophia and your name is? Liliana. And what am I holding?
A stick.
I am holding a stick. Everybody see? I am holding a stick. What is God's purpose for this stick? I don't know. Is it to whack somebody on the head? No, I don't think that's the purpose for this stick. There's a purpose for this stick. No, the purpose for this stick is to make something beautiful. To make beautiful music. But it's missing something. See, you can look down this stick, can't you? And what do you see?
Nothing.
It's empty, isn't it? For this stick to make beautiful music, it has to be filled with something. It has to be filled with breath. And in many ancient languages, the same word that is used for breath is also used for spirit. And so the Native Americans used to call this a spirit flute, because man would blow his spirit into this flute and it would make beautiful music. Let's see if I can do it. Is that special? And see, we're the same way. And sometimes we are like empty inside. And we can't do what God's purpose is for us. We can't do what God intends us to do. But we, if we allow God to fill us with His Spirit, with His breath, then God can make us, use us to make something beautiful in the world. Okay? All right, go back to your seats. And I'm going to preach to your parents now. And if you're wondering, yes, I am part Cherokee. My family came from Louisiana and participated in the War of 1812, where the Cherokee fought on the side of Andrew Jackson. The Creek Indians fought on the side of the British. We know who won, don't we? So, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Have you ever asked yourself, what is my role, what is my part in the harvest of the Lord? See, a lot of times we want to leave that to the professionals, right? Oh, we'll leave the priests and the deacons and the nuns. They'll go out and they'll do the harvest. But God has called each of us to participate in the harvest of the Lord. Because God has created us for a purpose. And when we find that purpose in our life and we pursue that purpose with our whole hearts, then we discover the joy and the peace and the glory that God has intended for us, and we will participate in the harvest of the Lord. Now, we live in a culture where there's a lot of choice. We like to make our own choices. In fact, from a small child on up, we ask these questions. What do you want to be when you grow up? Where do you want to go to school? What are you going to do with your life? We grow up and we think, where do I want to live? What clubs do I want to join? We believe that our life is all about our personal choices. But we live in the kingdom of God. And one thing about a kingdom is it has a king. And our king is also our creator. And our king creator created us for a specific purpose in life. And when we find that purpose, we find his fulfillment and his joy. But that can be kind of frightening, can't it? Because that means we have to give up control, and we like to have control. And God's purpose is often just the opposite of what we want to do with our lives. But the sad thing about what we want to do with our lives is that we want to lead ourselves to destruction. So there's a proverb that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but its destination is death. If we leave ourselves to our own devices and choices, we lead ourselves to destruction. Let me give you a couple of examples. You might ask someone, all right, money is no object, time is no object, just whatever you want to do with your life. If you could just do whatever you wanted to do, what would it be? And you might say, well, I think I just might like to kick back, relax, have a cold one, watch my big screen TV. In fact, this is personal confession time. I admit I said this to my wife once. It was one of those days that you just seem to struggle all day long and accomplish nothing. You ever had those days? You're just working, working, working. At the end, you say, what have I done? What have I accomplished? And you can't think of anything. And I was having one of those days. And I remember saying to my wife, you know, sometimes I just want to die and come back a redneck, where the only important thing in life is a big screen TV and a six-pack of cold ones. But it was a book just recently published that pointed out that every hour we spend watching television takes 22 minutes off of our life. Did you know that? We were not created to veg out. We were not created just to kick back and do nothing. God created mankind to work. Even Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the fall, Adam and Eve had a job to do. Adam was the gardener. Eve was the assistant gardener. They had a job to do because God has called us to work. It is in our labor that we find dignity, and it is in our labor that we find significance and fulfillment. When we find what God's purpose is for us and we pursue it with our whole being, we discover His joy in a special and fantastic way. We were not meant to vegetate. We were meant to be laborers in the harvest. Another example. Which would you rather? Win a $1 million lottery or work hard all your life? Earn a paycheck, give 10% to the church and to charities, put 10% in savings each month, live off of 80% in a simple lifestyle. Which would you rather? Well, I don't know about you, but the $1 million sounds good to me. But studies have shown that 70% of those who win $1 million lotteries declare bankruptcy within 5 years. But those who work at an ordinary job, live a simple life, give 10% to their church and to charities, put 10% in savings each month, they retire millionaires, surrounded by their family and friends, being respected by their community. See, we have a tendency to want to choose the easy road, and the easy road is inevitably the road to destruction. But God has called us to a purpose. And when we find that purpose and pursue it, we discover a life of joy and fulfillment. But like I said, it's often the exact opposite of what we would want for our lives. Take Noah, for example. I'm pretty sure that Noah's goal in life was not to build a big boat and fill it full of dirty, smelly animals. And that's just not most people's goal in life. But his obedience to God saved his family from destruction and preserved mankind. Moses. I absolutely assure you that Moses' choice in life was not to go back to Pharaoh and lead a slave rebellion. He was quite content to be a shepherd in Midian. But his obedience brought Israel into the promised land. The Pharisee, Saul, he did not want to become the Apostle Paul and go preach the gospel of Jesus to the dirty, smelly Gentiles like you and me. But his obedience brought the church into the whole world, and he gave us 2/3 of the New Testament. Even Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is praying to his Father and saying, "This suffering and cross that is before me, this is not my choice. This is not what I choose, but your will be done." And his obedience to his Father redeemed all of mankind. Often, to find God's purpose in our lives leads us into places we did not expect to go. I quite assure you, I did not expect to find myself here. And I tell people, I am the slowest of all converts. Being called into the Catholic Church in 1975, it was the year 2000 before I finally converted, wasn't ordained a priest until I was 64 years old. Don't follow my example. Find God's purpose in your life and rush into it. Pursue it with all you have. How do we find God's purpose in our life? We find God's purpose by intentionally aligning our will to God's will. Do you know anybody who, when they pray, spend their time telling God what they want instead of asking God what he wants from them? We tend that way, don't we? We come to God with our list. Do we ever stop and say, "Father, what would you have me do today?" Intentionally aligning our will with God's fills us with purpose, fills us with meaning, fills us with peace. Otherwise, we are that proverbial round peg in a square hole. We just don't fit. We can spend our whole lives in frustration and agony, not knowing why things just aren't working for us, because we've been leading ourselves by personal choice and not by the will of God. Here in this parish, I believe we are at a particular crossroads. I have not been here long, as you know, but I have been told that this parish was twice this size just a few short years ago. But we are at a point where we can move in a whole new direction that brings the glory of the kingdom of God here into guardian angels, and beyond this into our neighborhood and our community, and beyond that into our city, our nation, and the world. You see, God has established a culture. That culture is his kingdom, to live under the authority of God and to do things his way, not our way. To live a life of love of God and love of neighbor and not of selfish consumption. We live in a culture that is so enamored with selfish consumption that we give ourselves to violence, to death, to suicide. We can make a difference. We can show the world there is a better way, a way of love, a way of service, a way of giving. And we can change the culture of us who worship God within these four walls. And we can reach beyond these four walls. As beautiful as these walls are, we can reach beyond into the families that surround this parish. And we can reach even into the culture of our nation with the gospel of Jesus if we all determine to find our purpose, what God has created us to do, and pursue that. See, God has created His church into a body in which we all have different individual functions, different individual purposes, which are really just individual ways of expressing the overarching purpose of love of God and love of neighbor. And when we live our lives that way and reach into our neighbors, we can change our community. We can change our world. I have a vision of this church. I have a vision that this would be a place where all people are welcome with the love of Jesus. I have a vision of a church that reaches out into the community as a force and a power for good and for love and for change. I have a vision of a church that lives the culture of God and not the culture of this world that leads us all to destruction. And it can be scary because we have to give up our control. But we give our control to the Creator who made us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who loves us more than we love ourselves. I guarantee you of that. And in that giving, we receive the power and the joy of the Spirit of God. Remember the flute I played for the kids? When we allow God to play us like a flute, to fill us with His breath, to fill us with His Spirit, then we make something beautiful for God in the earth. Join with me. Walk with me. Determined to make this place, this time, the time and place where God moves on the face of the earth and brings redemption to all. And while you're at it, they're in the pews, these little pamphlets for time and talent. Pray, ask God, how can I, thank you, I should hold one up. How can I give to God and to His church? What do I have to share that will make this the kingdom of God on earth? And whatever God speaks to you, don't be afraid. Pursue the direction of God with all your heart.